I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. My guest today is Bobby Tatum. Bobby is the first African-American elected to the position of fire chief in the history of Waco, so we discuss his historic election, his push for diversity on the force, intense training methods that he sends all the firefighters through, and ultimately, what it means to serve a community. But before we get to that conversation, let's figure out what's happening in the downtown area with our commercial real estate expert, Greg Gleim. I'm now joined in studio by our commercial real estate expert, Greg Gleim, who's stopping in for What's Happening Here, the monthly segment where we answer listener questions about what's going on in the downtown. Greg, I just got an email from a guy named Darren who is looking to purchase in downtown, and he's looking for a place to live. I realize that you're the commercial guy, not really the residential guy, but you have a lot of information about what really is a low inventory of housing in the downtown area. Can you address that?
Yeah, I think that's something we've been noticing here lately, at least in the immediate future. There's a lot of focus on providing bedrooms in our downtown district. And one project that's kind of leaking out right now is the Barron's Lofts. Their developer's under contract to purchase those, and he's going to be doing a condo conversion with the 57 units in there. I've toured the facility. It's very impressive. I think they're all in good condition. There's great views of downtown. I want to say it's 5 or 6 stories. So there's 57 units in there that are going to be coming available to purchase here really soon.
So this is the Barron's Loft building. It's on 4th and, say, Jackson or so. Is that right?
It's at 4th and Jackson is going to be the Containery, okay, which is going to directly tie into this Barron's, the Barron's Loft project. It actually sits at 4th and Mary, but it spans. There's a couple parking lots on either side. So it is. It's right in the heart of downtown between the Silo District and River Square. So it's a great opportunity. And, you know, we constantly have people asking about buying condos in the downtown area, and there's not much available right now.
Let's drill in on that a little, Greg. Currently at Barron's Lofts, these are apartments. What's the thought process for this developer of taking them to condos?
Yeah, you know, the guy who's buying them was actually the developer who built them. So he's very familiar with the project, and they have been leased as lofts or apartments over the last 15 years. And now they're in the process, which is a pretty lengthy process I'm learning about, but changing a complex like this into a condo conversion. And they've got another 30 or 60 days left doing that. But I actually was emailed a marketing package on Saturday, so they're getting ready to start blasting it out and making it available to early purchasers.
Nestled in between the Containery and the fabled bookstore and cafe that'll be there on the other side, that's a pretty fabulous area to live. A little bit west of that on Franklin, there is some more housing coming.
Yeah, there is. And I actually just saw that. You know, I had a couple people ask about that and saw it in the newspaper. I think at 26th and Franklin, I think that there's a loft project coming in there. And that's a good building. It's a good part of town. And really, it's what we need in downtown. We need bedrooms. We need bedrooms to be available for people who live downtown. And fortunately, we've got some of these developers that are really pushing forward and doing that right now.
Do you see any commercial activity on the horizon for this area around 26th and Franklin?
I do. I actually was in a meeting last week with another large building over there that looks like it's going to begin to be repurposed from an industrial building into more of a multi-tenant retail structure. So I think it'll come. I think, you know, we've got obviously a lot of growth and a lot coming on the other side of the river. And I think with that, we'll also see it start expanding out into the uptown area, which I would say that's considered.
Darren, there are multiple options for you if you're looking to buy or rent downtown. Thankfully, we're getting some more inventory. And Greg Gleim is here, thankfully, every month telling us about that. Thank you so much for stopping by the show, Greg.
Thanks, Austin.
I'm now joined in studio by our residential real estate expert, Austin Hooper, for the monthly segment, The Residential Recap, where he tells us what's happening in housing. Hooper, what's going on, man?
I guess I'd say same old same since last time we talked. You know, we're finally starting to see the data come in from Q4 of last year, and I know we maybe in a couple episodes we talked about how things were slowing down, and then last month I mentioned you know, I was feeling in January that things were starting to kick back into gear as people were getting settled into their routines after the holidays. So I know you've got some data on Q4 sales in Texas, and kind of what we were feeling in the moment has, I guess, come to be true with now the data that we're seeing.
Yeah, this from the Real Estate Center. North Texas home sales fell 7.6% at the end of last year. So that was 22,402 transactions. Even though the median home price grew over 260,000 for the year, but we are seeing that these actual transactions, the number of people who are buying and selling, that is decreasing. And we're starting to see some of that activity in DFW is happening in Waco.
Yeah, and I think what we see happening nationally, Waco will follow those trends, but at a much lesser degree. So if you see, you know, big peaks and valleys of market activity in some of the bigger metropolitan areas, Waco will see those same peaks and valleys, but a lot more shallow, if that makes sense. So, you know, like we talked about last month, I'm now starting to see more people getting out and about looking for homes. And so when you talk about the number of transactions, you're really talking about the number of buyers and sellers out there wanting to make a move somehow. And so it really comes down to a volume game at that point. And what I'm feeling now is that volume is increasing. Of course, we'll have to wait and see and let the data, you know, we'll look back in a couple months to see if that plays out to be true. Kind of like I thought I was feeling in Q4 of last year, the data is now showing that that was true. So if the volume, the number of transactions does continue to decrease, I do think at that point we would see those falling sales prices. I'm a little more optimistic. I think here in Waco, the volume's increasing again. We may not get back to the peak craziness that we had in the summer of 2018, but you know, back to a little more moderately paced housing market, I think is going to be a win for everybody.
Well, as a guy with years of experience in the industry, your hunches generally are pretty good to follow. I've got to get your perspective on this housing that we're starting to hear about in downtown. Greg Gleim told us this morning that Barron's Lofts is being transferred into condos from apartments. There's going to be some more lofts there on 26th and Franklin. Do you think that there is a need for sale living in downtown, or do we have enough rental apartments that people don't really need stuff to buy?
You know, I do think there's a need there, and really, you know, a year or two ago especially, I had a lot of people asking for, hey, we want to live downtown, or we want to buy a second home downtown, a crash pad for Baylor games, what have you. And at that time, there was just the supply was not there. So the different developments around town had a backlog of people wanting to get in. So I think with some more supply coming on the market is only going to be a good thing. And I think a lot of the prices you saw of those, the one or two that may have been for sale seemed pretty inflated.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, supply and demand, we should see prices come down to a more approachable price point. And I think getting more residents down into the downtown core, it would be a huge win for Waco.
Residential real estate expert Austin Hooper giving us the recap this month. Thank you so much for stopping by the show, Austin.
Thank you.
I'm now joined in studio by my guest for this week, Bobby Tatum. Bobby is the fire chief of the city of Waco and kind enough to stop by the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Tell me a little bit about your Waco history, Bobby. What brought you here?
Well, let's talk about the why. And what brought me to the city of Waco is I've spent 31 years in the city of Fort Worth. I started my career in the fire department at the age of 19. And after 30 years in the fire service in the city of Fort Worth, I thought I had more runway left as far as my career goes and not retire. I had received so many blessings in the fire service, both professionally and personally, that I felt like I had more to offer. So I started looking out for other opportunities to serve, and the city of Waco was on my radar. And one thing that really drew me to the city of Waco is that I felt like I would have an opportunity not only to make a difference on the fire department, but in the community as well.
Were you that little kid who wanted to be a fireman and you grew up to be a fireman? Like, was this something that you wanted to do from a very early age, or did you fall into the work?
My honest answer is no, I fell into it. I graduated from high school, started college, started a family early, was married, and you couldn't raise a family on a college lifestyle. So I pursued a career where I'm just really having a stable income was my goal. And I got lucky and found the Fort Worth Fire Department was hiring.
What was it that drew you to that job besides the steady paycheck?
Well, initially, to be honest, it was the pay was the motivator and steady income. But once I entered the profession and knew what it was about service. And those were some of the things that I grew up with. And those things that helped me benefit me as a firefighter, service to a community. And those things I did a long time ago before I was a firefighter, just had a servant's heart, and it helped me in my career as a firefighter.
Were those examples that were set for you by family members or community members growing up?
My grandmother. If I look back to one of my heroes, would be my grandmother. She was a evangelist. She was a minister when we were growing up, and we had a family church. And when I say family church, we were the few people there on Sundays. And being the oldest grandchild, I was there with her almost every evening at church. So that's probably where I started, I guess, thinking of others before myself. And wanting to serve the community and knowing that there's a greater cause.
The Tatums were the clergy and the congregation.
We were. I don't know about the Jackson Five. You know, you think of the band, someone playing the drums and the tambourine. We didn't have many instruments, but we would sing. It was my grandmother and my uncles and my mother. We were all in church every Sunday.
Are you still involved with church?
I attend church here in Waco. I really visit a lot of churches based on invitations. I meet people and they all ask, what church do you attend? And I tell them we're still looking, and they always invite us. And my wife is the person that schedules all of our church visits. So when we're invited, we try to visit those churches.
You're in the Church of Waco. There's so many great places here to worship.
It's awesome. It's awesome.
You had mentioned that as things were wrapping up in Fort Worth, what did you know about Waco?
I knew very little about Waco. Even in my interview, I stated that one of the questions was, what do you know about Waco? And I said that I knew very little about the city of Waco. I would just stop through on my way to Austin. My son was a student at the UT, and Waco would be a stopping point for us. But as I got to know the city, and I-35 is more of a hindrance. If you could just get off I-35 and drive through Waco, you see just a beautiful city. Cameron Park, Lake Waco, just all the beauty in the city of Waco that you don't see just driving down I-35. And that was really what captured my attention in moving to Waco, and then meeting the people. I've met folks from my initial visit that are my really good friends today. And I think that what separates Waco from a lot of places is that people are really friendly. And it's almost, you're surprised at the love and hospitality that you get when you come to the city of Waco.
How is your job in Waco different from what you were doing in Fort Worth?
Well, in Fort Worth, I was a deputy chief, so I was over a section of the fire department, and I had great success in the different divisions that I worked, and I felt if I were the fire chief, then I would be over all of the divisions, if that makes sense, and it's a great opportunity to shape the department. So I was part of a small section of my previous department in the capacity. But being the fire chief, you have oversight of the entire department, and you set the direction of the department, and you help create a culture of service. You look out for the citizens. You're that person, the face of the department. You're the face up for the community that they see. And it's a huge responsibility. It's a tremendous honor to be in the position that I'm in.
I'm always interested in hearing about the culture of people's workplaces, particularly from the folks at the top who are the ones who set the standard for that culture. What is the culture that you've tried to instill here in the Waco Fire Department? And let's run through a few of the accomplishments that you guys had in 2018.
Well, really and truly, our culture is one of service, service before self. Our firefighters are very committed to that. We believe in community engagement, firefighters being involved in the community. We have a great reputation in our community, and professional and personal development of our firefighters to be the best that they can be at the job that they do, and creating diversity in our fire department. We want our fire department to reflect the community that we serve. So our doors are always open to women and minorities to apply for those positions in our department, because we're always looking for a few good people to wear the uniform and represent the city of Waco.
Is it rare to have an African-American as the fire chief?
Well, I was hired in 2016 as the seventh fire chief in the 100-year history of the Waco Fire Department, which was a tremendous honor, but is also an honor to be the first African-American hired in that position as well. So I was very proud of that. One of the two major accomplishments, I think, things that I've that stick with me was having the honor of speaking at Reverend Wilbert Austin's funeral. There are so many people in this community that have done so many great things, and for the family to ask me to speak at his funeral was a huge honor. And a second honor was there was last year, well, the first year I got here, it was Black History Month, and one of the students in the first grade class, they all would be someone in black history. So there was someone who was Martin Luther King Jr., and there was someone, famous people in Waco and in throughout the Black community. And I was one of, I had a young man who said, "I am Bobby Tatum, the first Black fire chief in the city of Waco." And I wow. It was just hard to keep my composure to be honored in that way.
It's incredible to see the impact that firefighters can have when they're both on the job and off it. Thankfully, on this show, we have a segment called the Small Business Spotlight that American Bank sponsors. And one of the businesses that I highlighted for this segment is called Waco Moving Company. Mm-hmm. And it's a moving company that's here locally that hires off-duty fire officers, people who you have a limited number of hours that you can work on the job. And these are people who are trying to hustle and make ends meet for their families. So they're working at this moving company when they aren't dousing fires. But the owner, Glenn Farrell, was saying that it's such a testament to what you've built and the culture that you've built that people call Waco Moving because they know that they can trust that firefighters, even if it's a second job as a mover, are people that they can trust and they want to welcome in their home.
That's one of the traits of a firefighter is honesty, integrity, and loyalty. Courage, bravery, things like you think of is qualities that you see in firefighters. Not only you mentioned the job that they do on the side, but people trust us to go in their homes. You know, they see that uniform, they see that person as a firefighter. And I've gone to calls where we've gone into their homes, then they were transported to the hospital and they ask us, "Can you lock the door when you leave?" And that's the respect. That's what people believe and trust in firefighters, and that's I don't say a rare quality today, but I see that in all of our firefighters that they do have courage and integrity and those traits that are well sought out outside of the fire service.
You're hearing from Bobby Tatum, fire chief of the city of Waco. Take our listeners through the process. You get a call saying that there's a fire at this address. What's going on in the fire station? Okay.
Well, our firefighters, they are probably the hardest working people in the city. They're on alert 24/7. Our firefighters, while they're waiting on a call, they're training. We have in-service training, state-mandated training. They have equipment on the trucks that they're working to be proficient in, starting tools, making sure that they work. It's like like an athlete. In football, they're practicing for the big game. Well, our firefighters are practicing for that fire, for that incident. So there's a lot of training that's involved. There's a lot of preparation involved. So while prior to the call, our firefighters are preparing daily, physically and mentally, for the challenge of responding to an incident. It's a very high-stressed incident. You're sitting, just imagine a person sitting in a room and then there is a fire that's dispatched. They have to jump into high gear, get on the fire truck, drive through traffic, all of those things that are, if you're driving in a car, just imagine being in a fire truck, driving through traffic, navigating through traffic to go to an emergency scene. And then some of the things that you see when you get there, it's always different. There's not always a cookie cutter type of incident. You never know what you get until you get there. There's fire scenes, things that affect firefighters after they leave the scene, some things that most people don't see in their lives. So firefighters have a very tough job.
What's the average response time to a fire in the city of Waco?
Our goal is to have a 4-minute travel time from the fire station. From the moment a person calls 911 to a fire emergency vehicle at their door is 5 minutes is our goal. We work constantly to ensure that we have the coverage in our city of Waco. One of the things we did was 2 years ago was to we had a study to relocate some of our fire station. Where could we provide better coverage? One resulting in us moving Fire Station 5 from Spate Avenue to a new location at Bagby and near Highway 6. So Bagby and New Road, actually. And that will be one of the fire stations that we relocated to provide better coverage to the Central Texas Marketplace area.
Optimizing the location of these stations, particularly analyzing traffic patterns, is really important to keeping those response times as quick as possible. In relation to that, you guys are going to be putting in a new fire station there at 25th Street and rehabbing the old 25th Street Theater.
Oh, that's correct. That's very exciting. One of the opportunities we have is to relocate our fire station 6 to the 25th Street Theater site. That building had been in disrepair for many years, and I'm really excited to see that building being used, the facility, the site being used. Because the building had been in disrepair for so many years, it would be difficult to use the site. However, building a fire station on that site, using that site to really revitalize that community. We've done something similar to Fire Station 1 on Elm, and I think it was part of revitalizing that area. It provided safety and security for the citizens living there. You have a fire station in that community. People feel safe. And hopefully we can replicate that on 25th and Cole when we build a new fire station there.
I can see, as a neighbor, wanting there to be a fire station in my neighborhood, safety, as you mentioned. But also I might be concerned about loud noises in the middle of the night. Do you get pushback from neighbors, or are they generally so excited that there's a public presence there that they overlook the negatives?
There is some give and take, but we strive to be good neighbors. Our fire stations are in the middle of the community. And we are very mindful of that. Will there be lights and siren at times? We are required to have lights and sirens on an emergency event, but we definitely are mindful of that. And when there are instances where we are not, we don't have to use lights and siren. We'll definitely make sure we do that to be good neighbors.
You and I have gotten to know each other over the last few months participating in Leadership Waco, this year-long leadership training course that the Waco Chamber puts on. Tell me a little bit about your experience through Leadership Waco. What made you want to do that, and what have been some of your takeaways about midway through the program?
Well, as I stated earlier, I wanted to be a part of the community, and being fire chief, I wanted to join Leadership Waco to meet like-minded people who wanted to make Waco a better place, to learn about the city, but see how they could fit in their positions to make our city better. And I met a lot of great people in the program, people who have a servant's heart and who have come together as a group. I think from the first day, everyone started calling each other by name, really become a really tight-knit group, and we'll make some great strides in the city of Waco moving forward.
What have you learned about Waco that you didn't know 6 months ago before you began the program?
Waco as a city is just a caring city. I've only lived one other place to reference, but the city of Waco is just so many different organizations that are put in place to help other citizens. And that was one thing that stood out to me, the healthcare system, how they reach out to people from all spectrums, that there are just so many opportunities to help living in this city. And I just see it as a great opportunity as a city grows. I think the city of Waco can be a model for other communities on the growth that's coming, just how people really care for one another. A small town, but as it continues to grow, I hope it remains that small town feel where people care about each other. And I think that's what I see most from the city of Waco, is that it's a caring community.
I've been reading about police forces throughout the country having a hard time hiring and finding people who want to do these often thankless, very important, underpaid jobs. Is the fire department having any issues like that? And if so, how do you fight against those?
Well, the fire department, thank God, we don't have a problem when we have application process. We have, last year, we had over 500 applicants for 10 jobs. So we do not have a shortage of people who would like to apply. We have a lot of departments that are outside of the city of Waco that are volunteer departments. So those individuals are kind of our pipeline when we hire, that they're kind of a training ground for us. They volunteer, they have a servant's heart, they know what's expected, and they give for free the services as being firefighters. So to become a member of a paid department is really something that a lot of them strive for. One of the challenges we have in hiring is not hiring minorities. Women and African-American, Hispanic are not looking at the fire service as a true career. And that's one of the challenges that we have. As I speak of diversity and looking for those individuals and hiring them, that's one of the challenges that we have. So the numbers are not there. Our numbers are there as far as having 500 or so people applying, but that diversity that we're looking for is not there at this time.
Why is diversity so important for a team?
Well, I'd like for our department to reflect the community that we serve. I like our fire department to, and as we do a great job currently, our firefighters, regardless of what zip code you live in, they provide the highest level of service regardless of where they go. But I do want our community, some of the young people in our community, to see. If you see that, or you see it, you can be it. So to be a person of color and a young person living in East Waco, looking for a career path, where do you want to be when you grow up? Who do you want to be? And to see that firefighter there is a firefighter of color, someone who looks like them, encourages them to be that.
Well, Bobby, I've got to say, it's been such a treat to get to know you throughout Leadership Waco this year. And for all of our community, I think especially to get to see someone with bona fides from a larger place coming from Fort Worth to Waco, we see that there's been such a tremendous talent of people in these larger cities recognizing there's opportunities in Waco and they want to come serve here. So I'm grateful, for one, that you took your talents a little bit south on I-35 and visited us here. But secondly, I felt the same way talking with Patricia Chisholm Miller last week. Having strong Black leadership in our city and having leadership that is reflective of the community as a whole, I think, is so important. So I'm grateful for you, for your hard work and for your position, and of course, for keeping us safe and fire-free. So thank you so much for coming on Downtown Depot.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Fire Chief Bobby Tatum, Greg Gleim, Austin Hooper, and you for tuning in. Once again, if you want to stay up to date in between episodes, sign up for the Waco Business Newsletter. It is free and consistent, hits your inbox on every week that we don't have a show here on KWBU, so you can stay up to date with all the development in Waco. I'm your host, Austin Meek, and you've been listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.